Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to The Midpoint. It's safe to say that for today's guest, midlife could not be more different from when she became famous in the 90s as an actress in Hollyoaks and a notorious party girl. Gone are the wild days of drinking with the Primrose set. These days, Davinia Taylor is 14 years sober and all about biohacking. After giving up alcohol, Davinia became interested in nutrition and lifestyle changes which can boost your biology and improve your mood, and founded her supplement brand, Will Powders. And when she was in her 40s, Davinia was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and she started looking deeper into how her hormones might be affecting this. And this has led to her latest book, Hack Your Hormones. With so many of us acutely aware of our hormones in midlife, I thought she could take on the job of our weekly expert as well. Davinia has form here. Some of you might remember her from Alexandra Schulman's episode a few years ago. So without further ado, here is Davinia. Davinia Taylor, it is great to have you back on The Midpoint. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me back. I love your podcast. So yeah, it's an honour to be here, actually.
Well, right back at you. And looking glowing as always. These days, you are the epitome of health. You always look like you're kind of fresh out the gym or fresh from a run.
Because I am. I've just come back from a 7K run, just a bit of a slow plod it was around my Lancashire home. And it kind of sets me up for the day. Now, I was thinking about this as I was running, because a lot of people just say, oh, I'm not a runner. But I wasn't a runner. So I was the sort of person who pulled up at Sainsbury's and Tesco. And if there wasn't a space right next to the mother and baby parking, I'd get a huge resentment and probably just drive home, causing myself no end of issues. But do you know what I mean? And that's how my mindset was. Just because now I understand, I thought I was lazy, but it wasn't that. It was because my brain was in an absolute sort of crisis point where it was completely programmed to conserve energy at all costs, because even though I was overweight, I was undernourished. So my brain was screaming out for more calories and conserve energy. So that's why I was stuck in a catch 22. So I couldn't go for a run, even though the doctor told me to go for a run. I said, I can't even walk to Sainsbury's, you moron. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I wanted. So that's how I've changed. And now I know it's about the nutrition I put into my brain makes my body move. So it was just, it was knowing all these like tricks of the trade, really, that we don't really have explained to us. We just get told we're lazy.
So your first book, It's Not a Diet, was about how you transformed yourself from somebody with addictions and, as you just described there, a very, let's call it, stationary lifestyle.
Yes, very.
Not much movement going on. And also some, mental health issues in terms of not feeling great about yourself and great about everything else, unsurprisingly, with all the lifestyle things that were going on. And the book was great because it was very much no nonsense. Okay, this is, as you say, not a diet. And you've moved on from that now to talking about hormones, and your next book is just that, about hacking your hormones. So tell me about the transition from that first book to this book, and what's happened to you. You've gone from somebody who transformed your life in one way, but it seems deep dived into this wellness world.
So, I mean, the first book was great to write because it was all very new, and it was very physical to see me transform. Like, I dropped around about 4 stone of body fat, water retention, just general systemic inflammation all over my body. And you could see a very clear before and after picture. But what I didn't go into as much detail in the first book, which I do in the second book, is every single behavior that we have, whether it be giggling, sleeping, enjoying, being enthusiastic, motivation, is all driven by our endocrine system, which is our hormones. So when people think of hormones, they generally think of, oh, women's problems and it's PMT and, oh, yeah, she's just hormonal. That's why I dedicated my book, Hack Your Hormones, to all women who've ever been called hormonal before, because really it's a family issue. because hormones affect everyone. And the reason why I took such a massive sort of like rabbit hole dive into hormones was, even though I'd lost all the weight, I still had this sort of underlying worry, not a worry actually, just an unanswered question as to why did I become an alcoholic? Because most people get sort of like the eebie-jeebies about alcoholism, thinking, oh, there's some deep, seedy trauma that I've experienced, therefore I'm drinking to black it out. What I didn't realize was I was drinking wine specifically and vodka specifically, because what it did for me, it boosted my dopamine. And I didn't realize that I have low levels of dopamine. The reason why I happened upon that was quite by chance. My second child was in school, and he's very, very similar to me, quite a dolly daydream, that's what I was called, a scatterbrain, forgot everything. I was always the scruffiest girl at school, and so is he. He always forgets his gym kit. And they said, do you know what? I think he might have ADHD. I said, but he's not hyperactive. They said, no. ADD comes under the ADHD umbrella, and I think you should get him tested and see if we can get him on some medication, because he's finding it really hard to stay focused in class, and he's being a little bit disorganized, and let's get him tested. So I took a little bit of a dive into it. And as I'm ticking the boxes, saying, yes, he interrupts. Yes, he jumps from one conversation to the other. Yes, he forgets things. I'm like, oh my God, this is me. And I'm 40 odd. And, you know, it was never a thing for women or girls or anyone who wasn't necessarily hyperactive to get diagnosed with this when I was back at school. And what it is, it's more of a hyperactive brain that's constantly seeking stimuli. So that's why I think I drank alcohol. It was for the dopamine, to give me get up and go, to make life much more bearable. Because if I find something mundane, it's actually quite painful. So this is why I need to run in the morning. This is why I need to have natural daylight in my eyes. This is why I take nootropics to bolster my natural dopamine levels to get me through the day. So I can do, say, tax returns, or I can do something that I just don't find interesting, like going grocery shopping or, you know, unloading the dishwasher. It's just low level dopamine that I find things feel quite painful. And I know as women get older as well, as all your other supporting sex hormones drop, dopamine gets dragged down with it. So this is why a lot of women suddenly have ADD symptoms when they hit their 40s. They're like, oh God, is this what you've been like all your life? I'm like, yes, welcome to the madhouse. This is what we do. So yeah, basically that's where that came from. It was just the fact that I looked at my son's symptoms and thought, they're mine. Then I was introduced to dopamine, and then I'm like, okay, this is a whole new world.
Let's start with dopamine then, because there's other lots of areas I want to go into that you've written about. If those symptoms and that kind of lifestyle is resonating, the way you've described it, is resonating with listeners, what did you do to hack dopamine then?
So I actually just did a post about it this morning. So a lot of people who procrastinate, a lot of procrastination is because of a lack of dopamine. The quickest, fastest way to get into your endocrine system without medication, and personally, I've tried the ADHD medication. It made me feel very hollow and homesick. I didn't like it, so I took my son off it as well.
A lot of people describe it as that, don't they?
Yeah, which is, I don't really, I was in the office and I tried it and I thought, oh, this should really help me with, you know, going through like a list of jobs to do. And actually I said, I'm going to have to go home. I've got nothing to offer the conversation. And I just had to, I actually tried to like sweat it out in a bath to just try and detox it out of my system as much as possible. So what I do is, if I know I've got a busy day, what I will do is, like I said, I'll run more often than not, because that is accessible to me now. But if that's not accessible to you now because you are underwhelmed with life, you feel...
So just to be clear, the running increases your natural dopamine.
Yes, yes, it does. I mean, it also boosts other hormones as well, like endorphins, you know.
And for running, you can exchange that with other forms of exercise that are going to increase your heart rate.
That is exactly what, yeah, you're increasing blood flow. I mean, what you could do to increase that blood flow, again, if these things aren't accessible to you because of injury or you're just in that flatline mode, I would recommend that you start taking some sort of nootropics. And one thing that you're not going to like is cold water. But there are thousands of studies that show that cold water increases dopamine over 200%. That's the equivalent of a glass of white wine. without the come down. So without the need to top it up. So you get a nice boost in dopamine, 200%, and it takes hours to come down from that. And another trick, actually, I write in my book, because remember, dopamine is a double-edged sword. If you do something that's dopamine spiking too often, your body will become tolerant and you'll have to do more and more. So that tips you into addiction. And remember, dopamine spiked by carbohydrates as well. So that's why a lot of us generally make that our norm. However, what I do with cold water, and some people will really like this, you flip a coin. So you have to keep the body guessing. If you do it regular, say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, your body's going to get into a routine and you're not going to get that 200% increase in dopamine. So flip a coin. So tails, you don't go in the cold, heads you do. And you don't know, your body doesn't know. And that's how you nurture dopamine. Another great tip is music. Literally putting on your favorite songs while you're outside will really boost your natural dopamine. You know, if you're watching, I don't know, Britain's Got Talent, and you get all those, you know, the goosebumps when someone's amazing at singing. You know, that's a natural reaction. You get goosebumps. That's dopamine in action. So learn to use I can flip from 90s house music to the soundtrack of Dirty Dancing because I've got nice memories associated with it. You know, I've got a Leavers ball, and then I've got a nightclub that I used to go to, and something that reminds me of my mum. I get that dopamine, and that one while I'm running is great. I personally love running because I can switch off. I just plod one foot in front of the other. I really need to get into like fell running because I'm literally surrounded by fells, but I'm always worried that I'll roll my ankle. So I run to meditate, really. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. And then a song will come on that I get a rush from, and then I'll increase and I'll do a quick sprint.
That hit of dopamine for you will last the day and allow you to be more focused when you need to be and to get the kind of the results from your day that you would.
That normally I would have found extremely hard to cope with, that I would have switched off from, I wouldn't complete a task, I'd become completely disenamored, I'd walk off and get myself a snack, I'd start trying to bolster it that way, then before you know it, I'm having brownies and then I'm chasing it with more coffee. Actually, coffee is a very good one to mention here because 9 times out of 10 it contains caffeine, and caffeine gets a pretty rough ride. But caffeine is responsible for opening up the dopamine receptors so you can feel more dopamine. A lot of biohackers, and the word biohacker sounds like a bit space agey, but all it is someone who hacks into their biology. So a lot of biohackers use caffeine to open the dopamine receptors, then take something or do something that's dopamine stimulating, and therefore they feel more of the dopamine. Now, if you're a bad metabolizer of caffeine, sometimes you can get the jitters and you feel anxious. What you need to do is combine that with a brilliant amino acid called L-theanine. It's found in green tea, but you can have it isolated. I sell it under the name Calm. It is brilliant for trying to get a cool, calm energy with coffee, as opposed to an agitated, jittery, overwhelmed, overburdened one. So, and that actually is another great little amino acid for anyone who has low level anxiety or even quite intense anxiety, or for people who suffer from a worrying mind before they go to bed. It switches off that inner monologue of mayhem. And it is such a nice, easy thing to take. Just take maybe 200 to 400 milligrams before you have a coffee and just watch how your brain starts working. Everything, you get into a flow state so much better. It's absolutely brilliant before I go to the airport. I'm always on high alert at the airport. I end up shouting at every kid that I have, which is 4. No one listens to me. Well, 5, including Matthew. And I am the sort of person that gets so overwhelmed, I'll forget the passport because I've got so much going on. So I need L-theanine to just cool me down, focus my energy on something that is important, like getting to the gate with passports, with 4 children and a husband. That's all my, you know, and so it's really good for that sort of scatty type brain, as well as someone who is suffering from anxiety. So my teen just did his GCSEs this year, and we put it on my company as a special offer for exam season, because our children are just sent out there with these stresses, you know, and these anxieties. That's going to be detrimental to their performance. You know, they need a cool, calm energy to be able to remember what they've learned over the past, well, in my son's case, past 6 minutes, because he crammed his revision. But, you know, there's some kids who actually dig in.
Yeah,
he's like, oh my God, what are you doing today? Physics. What are you reading now? Physics. Great. Okay. But it's just, It's being able to know how to hack into your hormones so you get the best out of your performance, regardless of what your skills are. We all have to do things that we don't want to do. And it's just making them as painless as possible. And actually, sometimes if you do something you don't like and you do it well, you get a little boost anyway. You get a little endorphin boost and you think, do you know what? I'm not actually a maniac lunatic who can't organise anything. I've done it and it wasn't that bad.
Well, I think what you talk about there as well kind of resonates with the kinds of challenges and things that we do that we're going to be pushing ourselves beyond our comfort zone. And that is what cold water is, isn't it? And, you know, there are other things that you can do that are, this is making me feel a bit uncomfortable. And that's where the dopamine comes a little bit later on. It's so good to just keep pushing yourself into areas that are a little bit uncomfortable. Let's talk about sleep, because this is one of the big chapters in your book. And there are lots of ways that you address kind of how to hack into your hormones regarding sleep. Can you give us a few takeaways? Because sleep comes up again and again and again, especially in the midlife female community, and male as well. But when women's hormones, as you mentioned, the sex hormones are dropping off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, what I found fascinating about sleep is that you can, you set up your sleep routine literally at 7 a.m. And I was like, what? And it's to do with light. So remember, before we had our phones, before we had our TV, before we even had a clock, we've always had our skin and our eyes to be the indicator to our bodies about circadian rhythm. So the circadian rhythm is the release of hormones to give you certain energies, certain fuels, certain behaviors, certain instincts to work around the sunrise and the sunset. So literally not that long ago, maybe, God, I'd say probably a couple of hundred years ago, not many people had access to a clock, you know? And really, we were just governed by the information that nature gave us. And we are still like that. Evolution has not caught up yet. So one of my number one tips for sleep is get outside in the morning, put the kettle on, grab a coffee, and get outside as close as you can to sunrise as possible. Take your sunglasses off and just absorb daylight on your skin. I mean, right now it's great because it's warm, but if it's cold, I have my, you know, my dry robe on, I have no sunglasses on, and I have my coffee outside looking at the sky. Okay, so this is the one that's annoying for me because I'm in Lancashire and 9 times out of 10 it's overcast. So if it's overcast, you're talking 20 minutes, but if it's sunny, it's 3 minutes. If you've got a blue sky, you've got 3 minutes, and what that does that tells your body, because remember, your eyes are linked to your brain, and that's got, and there you've got your pineal gland, and that's where a lot of hormonal information gets set. So you have this particular blue light coming into your eyes. And I don't mean look at the sun. It's just looking at the sky, looking at nature, looking around, try not to look at your phone, because that's going to set you back a little bit. I'll explain that shortly. But if you get that daylight in your eyes at that time, your body releases cortisol. Cortisol gets a bad rep, but it's actually your movement hormone. And your body will produce cortisol over and above every other hormone that is in there, because that is your survival hormone. And the body just wants to survive. So you will produce cortisol at least once a day. You need to just time it so. So the blue light pumps out cortisol. That gives you movement, motivation, energy to crack on with the day. But what the body's also doing is like, right, okay, 7 o'clock in the morning, we've pumped out cortisol. It takes a note of that. And 12 hours later, it will say, right, now we pump out melatonin. This is our darkness, our sleep hormone. So that you setting your clock at 7 a.m. to get up and go, your body has automatically set a reminder to say, now we're going to get sleepy, which is appropriate 12 hours later. And you can actually bolster that by going outside at sunset as well. Because again, there's different light waves entering your eyes, telling your body, yeah, it's sleepy time. Let's pump out some serotonin. I combine that with some carbohydrates. So I have a very carby meal. So you get into that carb coma sort of mentality. So the serotonin, which is released by carbohydrates, making you feel cozy, really buffers any remaining cortisol in your body, quietens that stress molecule down. Then you're going to tip that into melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, and you just ride the carb coma wave into bed and you have a nice cozy sleep. Now, if like me, you like to look at reels of cats on your phone in bed and giggle, I like doing that, I dig it. what you need is some blue blocking glasses, because the blue light from your screen will probably trick your brain into thinking it's morning time again, and you'll end up pumping out a little bit of cortisol while you're sleeping, so you won't get that deep sleep. But there's all little tricks of tech and nature working together, so you can just tell your body, don't worry, it's still sleepy time, but we're just going to watch some cats before we go to sleep.
A question that comes to mind, and it refers back to a guest we've had on recently, Trevor Nelson. And he works shifts, obviously does his show late at night on BBC Radio 2. And he talks about how when he goes into work, he feels exhausted because he's going in kind of 6-7 o'clock, going on air a few hours later. But then somehow the energy comes and the adrenaline pumps, and he goes, and then he finds it hard then to get back to sleep when he gets back home again. And a lot of people listening to this won't be doing 9-to-5 jobs or working normal days. Can you shift that kind of, you know, can you be getting it, your daylight in the morning at 9 and trying to kind of, you know, prolong that period?
Yes, you absolutely can. And it's all very nuanced to you, because look how we feel in winter compared to summer. You know, naturally, we are seasonal creatures. But there's a great piece of tech that anyone who's a shift worker might want to look into. It's called a red light unit. And that you can really boost your mood, and you can trick your body into releasing those hormones at certain times of day. So it's a company called Red Light Rising. I think they're South African. But they do, you can rent it before you purchase it. I think the unit's about £100 to buy, but you can rent it and see how you get on. It's also really good for injury, sore necks, this sort of thing. Red light's extremely beneficial. And apparently it's really good for eye health as well, as in it reduces aging within the eyes. So I need to do that, because I'm wandering around with these glasses on, and that's just another thing to lose, you know. So, but yeah, red light's really good. And of course, again, use the cold, use the heat to hack into your hormones. And you can also take things called nootropics. And what they do is they're certain chemicals that work in the brain system, increasing cognition and verbal diarrhea, I was about to say, verbal fluency. And they just allow you to access more of your brain than you normally would. That could be something for him to look into as well. So we're talking things like L-tyrosine that increases dopamine. There's a great ingredient called macuna purines, which is a root that contains L-dopa, which is the precursor to dopamine. You combine that with a bit of caffeine, a little bit of L-theanine, and before you know it, you've got a really cool stack there that's going to open up your brain receptors. Another great one is MCT oil. So much so, I built a company around this one ingredient. That is a brilliant molecule. It's a very short chain fatty acid that doesn't have to go through the digestive system. It just hits the liver, gets into the bloodstream, and crosses the blood-brain barrier. And straight away, your brain will be fueled by something called ketones. And you don't have to be on a ketogenic diet. You can just tap into this extra fuel source that's not glucose for the brain. That, again, will give him, boom, noradrenaline. Noradrenaline is the brain... Noradrenaline is the same as adrenaline, but it's just found in the brain. Noradrenaline is great for that shift worker. You can really tap into it. And what I would say as well, for people sleeping during the day, you can get melatonin from your doctors. I'd definitely say, can I have some melatonin? Because it's not like a diazepam, which make you feel sluggish and give you a hangover, and are highly, highly addictive. You can get melatonin in Europe. You can get it in the supermarket in Spain for your cat. But we can't get it here in the UK, but you can buy vodka on the M6. I'm like, there's some really weird stuff going on. And I'm like, all I want to do is sleep. And this is why I think alcohol use is over abused, because people think it makes them sleep. It doesn't. It knocks you out, but you don't get the restorative sleep you're after. So you're always going to be, you know, on a back foot. So I definitely recommend melatonin for shift workers or for anyone who's got jet lag. It's brilliant. And I recommend the drops that go under your tongue.
And you talked about tech. There's obviously quite a lot of tech as well that you can use to help you understand your sleep rhythms, which I think is really important, isn't it? Because there are different stages you talk about of sleep, and how many times you hit that really deep sleep is really vital and important in terms of your body healing itself through the night.
Absolutely. So there's a nice piece of tech. They're like the first to market. It's called Oura Ring. And I think they exploded on this sort of tech scene again out of Silicon Valley, because all of a sudden people are now understanding that sleep is literally the be all and end all. Because we all know when we're new moms or new parents, that was hell. I'm like, oh my God, people torture people to get state secrets, and all they have to do is keep them awake. And we're doing it voluntary with kids. So yeah, we know that sleep Without it, everything falls apart. I am useless. I need a deep night's sleep. So there's a, like I was saying, there's this company called Oura. It's called an Oura ring. And in it, it can monitor your deep sleep. It can indicate what body temperature you're at. So if your body temperature spikes during the night, you know something, you might want to support your immune system a little bit. They're just things that you wouldn't know normally, because it's you generally get a snapshot into your body's behavior later on during the daytime. But while you're asleep, there's a lot of restorative, a lot of restoration going on. You get into ketosis, your heart rate variability can basically tell you exactly what's going on with your immune system, if you've got low levels of inflammation, if you're under stress. I'd really invest in an Oura ring. If you want to get anyone a present, a Christmas present, I think it's the best piece of kit ever. Kim Kardashian and Gwyneth Paltrow were having an Oura ring sort of like challenge on Instagram, and that's when it exploded. However, just to put another company on your radar, I think they're French, called Circular Ring. They're trying to compete with them, because right now Oura Ring have got the monopoly. But their tech is so cool. It's really interesting. A friend of mine who's going through the perimenopause, she thought she wasn't getting much sleep. And it turns out her husband got her a ring for for Christmas. And it turns out she was getting really good sleep. It's just her heart rate variability throughout the day wasn't very good. She was never recovering. She was always she's a teacher. And that stress was just, she really needed to support her stress mechanisms. So I said, you need L-theanine throughout the day. You need to increase your GABA, which is your anti-anxiety hormone. And it's really helped her, because her sleep was okay, but she felt shattered and overwhelmed all the time. And it's because she didn't have enough GABA. So just knowing little tricks like that can really help you nuance what you need to do to get through your day and make your priorities doable. Because we forget, you know, the one size fits all approach, I think, is kind of happening again, particularly with women's health. It's like, okay, well, you've got HRT, stop moaning, carry on with your day. And it doesn't work that way. Because I said in my book, literally normal in Japan is different to normal in the UK, is different to normal in the USA.
Well, and normal in my village is different to normal to the town, you know, a few miles away, because we're all so different, and our stresses are different, our diets are different, our history is different.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The other areas, the kind of central tenets, if you like, of your book, stress and mental well-being, you talk about with regard to hormones. You've kind of touched on them a little bit there as well. And you talk about mood as well. What would you say the difference is between kind of mood and stress?
Well, for me, it's understanding that our hormones are responsible for all our moods, even our personality and how we interpret things. So I'm trying to take the blame from people. And if you have like certain foods or... So for me, if I have vegetable oil, straight away, I'm seeking more of that substance. So I'll just give you a brief history on veg oil. So we're talking sunflower oil, rapeseed oil. In America, they call it canola oil. But there seems to be a big movement over there about how inflammatory and, well, basically dangerous this stuff is. And it's in everything. It's been promoted as heart healthy. That's since been debunked, but we don't seem to have the press on it here. Anyway, they've actually developed an app in the USA, which now tells you what restaurants do not use these oils. So we're normally about 5 years behind the wellness over there. So I'm looking forward to when this becomes mainstream. Because if you take something like Pringles, they even advertise it. Once you pop, you can't stop. That is because of this ingredient, veg oil. So veg oil, roll back the clock to about the 40s. veg oil used to be used as farmyard machinery cleaner. And even like there's stuff called the pink stuff that you can get in Lidl and Aldi and Asda. And basically it's this paste. And you put it on outdoor furniture, or you put it on the boys' rugby kits, and it will literally lift out stains. It's a stain remover. It's a detergent. And the first ingredient in that is veg oil. It's like waterproof mascara. So as soon as you consume that, what you're doing is you're hacking into your hormones in a detrimental way, because your gut begins in your mouth. And right the way from your mouth, right the way down to your lower intestines, you have mucus. And within that mucus, you've got little hormone receptors that send messages via the gut-brain axis to your brain to say what we're consuming, what we're eating, and what we should be seeking more of. So your body's always seeking amino acids, always, 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 because it's the building blocks to life. Now then, as soon as you have, say, a Pringle or something that contains these veg oils like granola or something like that, you are literally swallowing detergent, and your gut is so sensitive. The mucus is so, it's so small, it's so teeny tiny that it strips the gut, like waterproof mascara, it strips the gut of the mucus, and the hormone receptors retract. So your brain never gets a message that, hey, we've just eaten a load of amino acids, we're okay, we can stop seeking food. It doesn't get that message. So as soon as you have one or two, inevitably, you are going to seek more because your brain thinks you're starving, which kind of takes us full circle to what I suggested at the beginning of this.
And we're talking here, like, because obviously if you're in control of your diet and you cook everything at home yourself and you cook from scratch, you'll know what's going in. So for people who are thinking, where is it hidden? I guess we're talking processed. A lot of processed foods are going to have vegetable oil.
Yeah, but even healthy foods. So you have a look at protein shakes, protein bars. It's all got it in because it's such a bloody great, it's a manufacturer's dream. It emulsifies things. It keeps salad dressing together, you know? Instead of just shaking like balsamic vinegar and olive oil to get that sort of like emulsion, this keeps it suspended in a cream. And it's a preservative. It stops things from going off. So we're talking profit, profit, profit. That's why it's in everything. And remember, processed foods generally, no matter where, if they're healthy or not healthy, if it's Mars or if they're generally owned by some of the big guys. It's like five main manufacturers like Procter & Gamble, General Mills, Unilever. All those big guys own even the healthy labels. So I think Heinz owns Slimming World or something. So just remember, you're just buying into the profit, the basic model of the big food, big pharma model. Not to put a tin hat on or anything, but just know what you're buying into and know that this first bite will no doubt lead to addictive thinking. Even on a subconscious level, you'll be seeking out food, you know? So it's not your fault that you've been brainwashed, but now you've listened to this, it is. So you need to look on the back of a label for sunflower oil and rapeseed oil and put it back. If you want to lose weight and keep in control of your eating habits, you need to put those back because no one can act against these addictive
ingredients.
And
then bringing that back to mood, which was what we were kind of, we kind of went down mm-hmm. that. I mean, I know it's like you go down one thing and it leads you to another thing, doesn't it? Because the tentacles are all there.
I know, rabbit hole.
And the mood, the reason your mood may be depressed from those kinds of food and feel down from those kinds of foods is because?
Yes, because it's a fat. It's a fat as well. And remember when I said about the MCT oil, it's got 8 carbon atoms and it crosses the blood-brain barrier to produce ketones and energy, a fat that gives you energy that your brain really thrives on. This too can cross the blood-brain barrier, but it's inflammatory, and how they are manufactured, it shouldn't be in the human food chain. It's a very, very inflammatory. And by inflammation, if you have an inflamed brain, you have a depressed brain. So my recommendation, if you're feeling flatline, just see how much veg oil you're eating. Take it out for a week. I mean, by all means, you swap butter in. You swap butter in. If you want to cook, cook with avocado oil. But check again, check the label that they've not spiked it with sunflower oil, 90% sunflower oil, 10% avocado oil. So just always turn the label around. Don't buy into the marketing, buy into the ingredients. That will lower your mood, you know? Using this stuff that really is to clean machinery shouldn't be crossing our blood-brain barrier, causing us to flatline and seek more food, you know, because you feel underwhelmed when you're inflamed. You are underwhelmed. You know, when you have an injury on your knee, that you're stagnant. You literally can't move. You've got to wait for that fluid to drain. It's the same with your brain. Your brain is an organ that needs nurturing. It cannot, particularly with all the stimuli we have, the last thing it needs is some weird, horrible space age food crossing into it. It's super sensitive. And I'd argue that that's probably one of the main reasons that why we have children getting depressed so often, because their diet is so full of veg oil. I mean, I bottle fed my kids and I look at the ingredients. It's bloody sunflower oil. It's sunflower oil and sugar. And, you know, the nurses said to me, oh, yeah, you're better off bottle feeding them because your boobs are engorged and all this sort of stuff. But what? Now I know. It's the biggest regret I've got, actually.
That's quite a stressful thing for women who can't breastfeed. So are there no alternatives?
Isn't it? Yeah, you can buy breast milk now. Women donate it, you know, that they actually can. And you just need to look at the ingredients again and see if you've got, I mean, goat's milk's a really good one. I think that's very close to us. Which you can buy in a bottle. So yeah, number four had goat's milk, but one, two and three didn't. They just had SMA. And when you look at the ingredients now, it's like, it's shock and horror to me. But it's like, I've got to speak out about it because otherwise nothing changes if nothing changes. And this, I think it's killer number one, this veg oil, over and above sugar.
I mean, you wrote about the sugar in your first book, and sugar obviously is responsible for a lot of health ills, isn't it?
So
we're not putting that on the good list.
No, it's not on the good list, but I do think the body understands how to metabolize it so it can get rid of it quicker. And I do think, you know, we've always eaten it. We've always had honey. We've always had fruit. But this veg oil, we've never had until the 50s.
Yeah, this is totally alien.
So if you take things out as, you know, because taking everything out all at once can be a little bit, oh my God, overwhelming.
Well, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because your podcasts are excellent and you have some incredible experts come on there. But even they don't necessarily always agree, or they don't always say the same thing. You know, they're kind of, when I say promoting, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but they have their belief system, you know, that they come on and deliver. And you are very careful to have people who base that in science, and you want them to have, you know, empirical evidence. But of course, it's quite overwhelming as well to hear lots of different thoughts, lots of different ways of eating, and lots of different ways of kind of addressing big health issues. How do you deal with that as somebody who is now so immersed in this area?
My thing starts with the brain. And I believe if the brain's fed well, the body will follow. So you will become leaner, you will become quicker, you will restore yourself better. So I always kind of lean into people like Andrew Huberman, who I've got like this massive crush on. He's Professor Huberman over at Stanford. He has the most incredible access to the most incredible guests. And so that's where my passion is, because I feel like if I've not got my brain, I've got nothing. I certainly won't go for a run if I don't know how to hack into my brain. So I generally start there. And he leans into places like examine.com, so you can get peer-reviewed studies, et cetera, et cetera. But if you just can't be bothered with all that, I generally think, let's look at evolution. Let's see where it all started going wrong. I mean, of course, we've got the brilliant medicines like penicillin and stuff like that, and we can get rid of viruses. But it's like, where did we start sort of just relying on strange data, like saying meat is bad for you, but we've got a millennia of eating meat and preparing it properly and eating nose to tail? So it's kind of like, I think my gut instinct is, if it wasn't around for my great-great-grandmother, or it wasn't available as a food across the planet for my great-great-grandmother, I think it's probably a bad idea. So highly processed plant-based food, for me, is a disaster, whereas sourdough bread would be good, because we've had bread for a very long time, even though the keto family, the keto guys are saying, no, take bread out, grains are going to kill you. But I'm like, but the Egyptians did all right. So I'm kind of like in that camp. I'm kind of looking back to history as to see what we've evolved on and become the most powerful species on the planet. And that seems to be quite... I generally have one meal a day, which is in the evening. The rest of the time, I'm probably necking sort of like MCTs, and I'm intermittent fasting. I have quite a bit of kombucha. So I don't sit down for a full meal while I'm in the office. If the kids are home from school, we probably will. I'll probably have like a bacon and eggs in the morning and stuff. But normally, if I've got a productive day, I find digesting slows me down. So I save all that cozy food for later on with the kids, shepherd's pie, this sort of thing, with beef liver chopped into it. They don't taste it. They don't taste the beef liver in the mince, but it's the most nutrient dense form of heme iron there is on the planet.
I read that about liver. I love calf's liver. Does that?
Oh,
is that
count? Yeah,
is that
no, right? That's amazing.
Because it's classed as beef liver.
Yeah. You're fine. I mean, lamb's liver is great. I mean, it's super cheap. And the great thing about buying lamb is 9 times out of 10, we're not importing it from hopefully New Zealand anymore because we have the superior grass. Our grass is amazing. It rains all the time. We export all our beef because it's so good, and we import processed soy from China. I'm like, how's that working out?
So grass-fed beef is kind of priority number
one. And lamb, the same. You know, they're very, very similar. Very similar. I mean, my family, my kids prefer lamb steak because it's softer to eat. My eldest is, he's obsessed with steaks and egg, that sort of thing. And I will let them have carbohydrates. But what I'll do is say if we've got rice, I'll boil it in bone broth. Just getting the nutrients and the minerals in there. It's just like sneaky nutrition, getting it in there. Every morning I put a teaspoon of collagen in their juice because they like juice and they want prime. I mean, like, of course they bought into this junk. It's just blue junk. But what am I going to do? Say, no, you can't have that. I'm a purist. You're going to have reverse osmosis, bloody double distilled water. No, they want prime. So I just put a teaspoon of collagen in there. It dissolves into nothing. They've got all the amino acids they need to support their gut health while having this junk food. So it's kind of like, I just have to compromise.
So just taking it back a step to your philosophy of kind of, you know, if we haven't evolved with it, perhaps stay away from it.
Just be aware of it, really.
What, you know? Yeah, be aware of it and understand that you're putting things into your body that we weren't 10, 15 years ago. The link between increased issues in terms of mental health, especially with young people, and, you know, depression and other behavioural things. Do you think there's a direct link then to how we have started to eat 50 years
ago? Yeah, I do. And 50 years ago, so I'm particularly into testosterone because I've got 4 boys. So when my kids turn 18, their testosterone levels will be the equivalent of someone who was 60 20 years ago. It's really dropping. And for me, I think it's got something to do with the amount of soy we have in our diet and the inflammation. And we have xenoestrogens in the water. So bottled water, it's, you know, we're drinking lots of water, but when it comes in plastic, and don't get me wrong, prime, the plastic eaches into it. And basically these boys end up with estrogen dominance. And we're talking man boobs, low mood, mood swings, the whole shebang, and it overrides testosterone. So you let less confident, you know, less of a fat burning machine, you know, less muscle mass, less bone density. It's a real worry for me.
So how do you hack that? How would anybody listening, you know, who's worried about their young men in their lives, how would they hack that?
Well, I'm trying to bolster it with as many precursors as possible. So that is red meat, that is bone broth. So an ancient nutrition food source. And again, like I said, put in like collagen, which tastes of nothing, bovine collagen, not fish collagen, because you just don't know where that's from. And I don't care if someone says it's wild caught. Wild caught what? Is it dolphin? Is it lobster? What's in it? And it stinks. So they have to mask it. So for me, that's why I invested my company in Swiss collagen, because it's got the highest welfare. And I know exactly what blade of grass that ate. In the UK, we export too much of it. Otherwise, I'd use UK beef. We just send it away. All our beef gets exported. You're very lucky to find grass-fed beef on those levels to manufacture collagen in the UK. So, so basically, it's that ancient caveman nutrition. Really watch the carbs. Beer is a killer for lowering testosterone as well. So it's just putting things on your radar that you know are having an impact on you, on your kids. And, you know, there are tons of supplements that you can take. Tonkatali, that'll boost testosterone. You know, you can work with an endocrine guy, but get them tested. Get your husband tested. Have a look for estrogen dominance. Is he getting man boobs? Is he getting hips? Get him on some estrogen detox, which should be DIM, D-I-M, and calcium D-glucarate. That'll break it down in the liver, break it down in the bowels, and get it into the toilet where it belongs.
I take DIM. Yeah. I've forgotten why I take it. Remind me why. Somebody said to me.
PMT, you get the rage, the PMT.
So it's mood, that sort of, yes.
It's really good. Because, and also weight gain around the belly, around man boobs, and women with belly fat as well. That's a big estrogen dominance is phenomenal. I think it's never spoken about, but it affects the whole the family. DIM, but you need to team that with calcium D-glucarate to get it through the liver, into the gut, into the toilet, because you don't want to recirculate estrogen. You want to use it once, get it out. The last thing you want to do is reabsorb it again.
You can't get DIM very easily.
I've literally just manufactured it, and they've got all these caveats. Well, you know, it's a novel food. I'm like, again, I can buy vodka on the M6, but I can't get dim.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there is something going very wrong with the health mechanism in our country, that you can't get something to help you sleep that's non-addictive, and you can't get something that's going to reduce PMT and stop my boys from having estrogen dominance, but they can get beer in Sainsbury's with ID. You know, yeah. I'm like, what is this crazy clown world we live in?
How old are your youngest?
Yeah, I mean,
how old are your youngest?
He's seven.
He can probably,
he's seven,
he
so
can
it's
probably
not really,
go and buy a vape the way they're going at the moment.
Yes,
I mean, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Watermelon vape. Yeah, so yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuck on a battery. Brilliant. Yeah, you can get that. And it literally is a battery when you see it. It's, yeah, it's actually, you open it up and it's a battery. I'm like, oh my God, how on earth did we think that, have we got the smoking people saying that this is a better idea than smoking?
Well, I'm really,
I'd rather have the cigarettes.
I'm a big Five Live listener, and I'm really delighted that Rachel Burden, who presents a breakfast show, has been on a mission the last year. She's got four kids and she's on a mission to kind of basically try and change the laws on vapes and the way that they're sold, because obviously
the surface area of your lungs is the size of a tennis court. That's why it's so addictive, because every single cell across that tennis court receives that highly addictive stimuli, again, dopamine. I mean, it's weird because I consider myself an addict, and I used to smoke when I had a drink. But as soon as I put the drink down, I never had that nicotine craving, which shows how nuanced we are. I mean, nicotine is one of the most addictive drugs on the planet, but it never got me. But take away my white wine, we've got an issue. We've got a major issue. But no, I've since moved on from that, and now I have cold showers. Oh my God. What a turnaround.
Davinia, I could carry on and on chatting to you. You are an absolute expert in this area now. And, you know, if anybody wants to deep dive further, I thoroughly recommend your podcast to listen to the various experts you have on. Not always just about, you've had Dr. Barbara Strum as well, haven't you?
Yeah, she's great about skincare health and how to, I mean, she looks incredible, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, I'm trying to bring as many sort of different people who I've considered interesting on there and just ask them, you know, what should we be doing? Because none of us seem to know. But I feel like I've got into my stride. In this second half of my life, I've got into my stride. So
yeah, well,
after 40, it's got easier. Really.
Yeah, you're not only on this particular episode as an expert, but I think also as somebody who has turned their life around in the kind of midlife, and the next half of your life is going to be a lot healthier, perhaps, than the aggregate of the first.
And I do believe a lot easier. I think when you're healthy, it's easy, right?
It is. And you learn to really value your health because you know how much more you can do, which is the thing that, you know, if you're ever sick, it's kind of that feeling that you can't do what you want to do and something else is stopping you, which nobody likes that feeling. So I'm going to put you on the spot for the final question. And as I said before, a lot of people get overwhelmed by all the different things that are coming at them with regard to health. If there were three things that you would say to hack into somebody's current kind of lifestyle and diet, what would you say are the three things that you would change or are most important?
Okay. So first of all, 15 seconds of cold shower once a week. That's it. 15 seconds. Focus on the back of your neck. That's it. Take out veg and seed oil. And do not be scared of fats, because cholesterol actually helps you manufacture hormones. So introduce MCT oil into your life immediately. And just don't be scared of saturated fats, because I think that's going to be debunked in the next, well, probably 5 years. But who's got 5 years?
I'm glad to hear that, because I just can't stop using Lurpak.
Great. I'm a Kerrygold gal myself, but you know.
Well, that's grass-fed, isn't it, as well? So I probably should
be
on that.
Is.
Yeah, we do have
yes,
some Kerrygold.
Elevate.
Or any French butters. I like French butters.
I do with the salt in.
Yes.
Oh my God, and salt's another thing. You need salt in your diet, but make sure it's sea salt, not table salt. Table salt doesn't have any minerals in, sea salt does, and will actually lower blood pressure with those other minerals in. So table salt is rubbish, sea salt is excellent, Celtic sea salt.
Pink Himalayan salt?
Yeah, it's okay. Just be careful that you're not getting conned. You know, just make sure you know the mine it's come from and they've not just dyed it.
Efficacy is everything. You can have that as the next title of your next book. Efficacy is everything.
Okay,
isn't it?
Knowing
where things come from, I think.
Provenance is key. It is key. And just remember, provenance is key. And you are what your food ate or grew in. So soil is of paramount quality. So that's why I'm into regenerative farming. if you can, if you, God, grow your own. But I literally kill basil. The minute I buy it from Sainsbury's, I put it on the windowsill, it dies. I'm like, what? You know what? So I am definitely not one of those green finger type people, but I reckon that'll be the, maybe over the next 10 years, that'll be my new thing. But
well, I tried to grow potatoes last winter.
Oh.
I think the foxes probably had them. I don't know, but they just didn't appear. So somebody said to me, only if, you know, an idiot can grow potatoes. Apparently this idiot can't.
Okay.
But Davinia, thank you so much. I will let you get back to growing your empire.
And my basil.
And your basil. And have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gabby. Thank you for having me.
Wow, that chat was packed full of information. You might need to listen again with a notepad by your side. I'll be looking out for vegetable oil on all labels from now on. So thank you so much to Davinia for sharing all she's learned so far. Like she said, though, one size doesn't fit all when it comes to health and hormones. So keep that in mind if you decide to explore this further. Remember to hit follow wherever you listen to us so that you're never likely to miss an episode. My thanks, as always, go to you for listening and to Spiritland Productions for helping put this podcast together. I really hope you can join me again next Wednesday, but until then, take care and good luck hacking those hormones. See you soon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.